a storybook there. It definitely filled in the background of where we are today in the book of Exodus. And, you know, maybe I could just leave it at that, but I know I'm on the hook for something else this morning too, just to elaborate on these plagues that were sent by God to a hardened heart, King Pharaoh. And this is where we take up the story today in the process of redemption. Where we land today is at a point where Pharaoh is challenged to let the people of Israel go. And one of his responses is, who is this Hebrew God that I should obey? And we see Moses trying to represent God to him, and it still is a no-go. We have Moses communicating the plan of God to redeem the Israelites from this horrific bondage and pressure that they've been under. And, you know, the children of Israel are so overcome with the state of affairs that they're basically saying, we're too discouraged even to listen to God. And so this is where we come into at this point here. God will still pursue his plan of redemption bring it to a point. We came to the ninth plague this morning in that book, and that's where we're going to come to today. There was 10 plagues sent, but we're going to do the 10th plague next week, and Jonathan Thomas will take that one. I'm going to cover the first 9 plagues. And just a little bit of detail, characteristics of some of these plagues. First of all, I'll say this, is that in chapter 7 of Exodus, it says that in verse 3, well, I might as well read verse 1 to 3. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you. And Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may bring my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretched out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And then Moses and Aaron agreed to do so just as the Lord commanded them. So we have Moses and Aaron going to King Pharaoh, despite Moses feeling very inadequate to do so, despite the Israelites not listening to Moses, despite Pharaoh not having any idea who this Hebrew God was. And Pharaoh, apparently, I think that in history, it tells us that he was probably Ramses II, and he was the most evil Pharaoh to date. He didn't hesitate to take life, the firstborn, and that's why we see Moses in the basket. Family was trying to preserve his life, and we see Pharaoh here, a very wicked king of Egypt. And so we have a clash coming between a God who wants to redeem and then someone who's opposite God, doesn't even know who this Hebrew God is, but his heart is hard. And I know that we read verse 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, but what we're going to look at today is the process that God uses to communicate to a hardened heart, one that is not sealed, but one that is maybe callous towards the things of God. It's a touching sort of circumstance here, as we see God, who is going to redeem Israel, but he does it in a process by sending these plagues. He does it by working with Pharaoh's heart. He doesn't predetermine Pharaoh's actions. He doesn't harden his heart and then that's it. Pharaoh has no chance to respond. What we're going to see is through these 9 plagues that we're going to cover this morning, that Pharaoh has ample opportunity to respond to God. And yes, God does harden hearts. However, it's not without someone hardening their heart first by choice and their own free will. And we see the heart of God trying to reach someone's hardened heart, the process by which God uses to reach a hardened heart. Some of the characteristics of these plagues here, like I said, we have 10 total, 9 we're going to cover today. Some touched the resources of their land. Some were just an extreme nuisance. I mean, that little book there was very accurate. I mean, frogs that came out of where they're supposed to live in the water. And we know when we're at the cottage, it's nice to listen to frogs, you know, at night and everything else. But they don't belong in the bed, okay? So the Word of God is very, very accurate here. And that little book was very accurate in terms of, kind of providing detail to where these frogs were. They were in the houses. They were in the bedrooms. They were in the beds. They were in the mixing bowls of the cooking utensils. But very precise details given in some cases, and some were just nuisances. Some touched the physical. The boils that came along eventually touched the physical aspect of the person. And then in the end, one would kill your oldest son, and we're going to learn about that next week. Someone demonstrate a difference. That God was trying to demonstrate that, you know, if you're on my side, there is protection for you. And some of these plagues that were sent would show that there was a difference between those that would side with God and those who would be against God. In the land of Goshen, that's where the children of Israel were right next to the promised land. But in the land of Goshen, there would be a restriction of some of these plagues. It wouldn't affect this land because God was trying to establish that there was a difference between his people and Pharaoh's people. They would demonstrate the mercy of God. That, you know what, in judgments, it says by great judgments, God would redeem the children of Israel. And it's a process here, and part of the process is him establishing that he is righteous in judgment, and that someone who comes to the end of God's judgments is going to say that, you know what, God, you gave me every chance to respond. You gave me all the education I needed. You gave me the situation I needed. You gave me the witness I needed. You gave me the family I needed, the contacts I needed in order for me to make a response to you. And I cannot, I have to agree with your assessment on me in the end. And that if God comes in and judges a person, he's going to do it in righteous judgment. And that person there will say, yeah, just like Pharaoh did, that we're probably going to read a little later, that, you know what, Lord, you are righteous and you are fair to make these judgments. And as the plagues roll on, this is what Pharaoh's heart, although remaining hardened, he comes to this realization that, God's judgments are righteous and they're fair. He doesn't predetermine someone's heart to act in a certain way. People will have a chance to respond. And that's one of the characteristics of the plagues. And so the way God works with hearts resistant to him and the way a resistant heart may react to God is some of the things that I would like to go through in these plagues. So when God starts to work with us who may be sort of contrary to the feelings of God, let's say, in whatever example that may be in your own life, sometimes he sends you someone. In verse 1, it says that I have made you as God to Pharaoh. Sometimes he sends someone who will represent God to us. And this is not only the authority of God, I believe, but this is the totality of who God is, the presence of God, the patience of God, the courage and the someone who is going to show up. Imagine Moses showing up to Pharaoh every single time and seeing Pharaoh's reaction, that it's almost there. Is his heart going to be softened? No, it isn't. Pharaoh remains firm in his hardened heart position, and yet Moses has to go by the command of the Lord and repeatedly appeal to him time and time again for him to obey the Lord and let the people go. So what is Moses learning here? He is learning some of the characteristics of God. And so what qualities do I have in my life as a Christian? What can God cultivate in my life to allow me to be that person who is going to go up to a Pharaoh in my life with a hardened heart and be used of God in this way? So I think that it's not only authority, but I think God is using Moses to represent himself before Pharaoh. Not an easy task for Moses to do this. And God sends him help, Aaron, as a helper. Moses said, you know, I'm not qualified. I'm not eloquent. We went over that. But he gives Moses a helper. And you know what? God can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he's just asking us to represent maybe God before someone else, someone who may have a hardened heart and is resistant to God's ways. So that being said, some of the characteristics of these plagues, we're gonna look at the seventh plague. Why? Because it focuses on where these plagues are really directed to. So let's look at chapter 9 of Exodus, chapter 9, and we're gonna just read a little bit there, and it's interesting because God is just not out here to, he's out there to make a statement, but he's not a geographically hungry God that he owns the world, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. He's not trying to demonstrate himself just so that he can say, well, I'm going to put my people in this land over here. We're going to take up this land. This is the land I promised them because I own all the land anyways. He has other purposes, and one thing here in chapter 9 and verse 13, let's look at there. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me, for at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart. Interesting. I never noticed that as much as I did when I was looking at this. For at this time, I will send all my plagues to your very heart. And some would say that, I don't know if this is really true or not, but history maybe would tell you that these plagues that would come would be sort of challenging the God that Pharaoh would worship. And each plague that went by would be a challenge to that particular God to respond on behalf of Pharaoh, and that each time the plague was given by God, but also taken by God, and that was the only resolution. The God, small g, wasn't able, Pharaoh's God, wasn't able to take care of the plague. Now, we have some of the magicians who said that they could do the same thing, and it was demonstrated in a few of these plagues that they did the same thing. Now, they could never take the plague away, though. And it's beyond me that why would you want to bring more plague to your situation? Yeah, you know, like, I mean, Moses would sort of implement a plague that God said it was going to happen. And then the magician would come along and say, well, here's some more plague. Interestingly, just to show that they could do it. Well, okay, you can provide just as much misery, but can you take that away? An interesting thing. I mean, they would try and show themselves that they could do what God did, but God is the only one that could take a plague away. The magicians couldn't do that. And so here is the appeal here. Here is where God is focusing these plagues. It's on the heart of Pharaoh. It says, all my plagues to your very heart. It's not just a geographically thirsty God. It's not just a God who wants to demonstrate his power because. In the process, he wants to work with the heart. And the heart is where, you know, we resonate with conviction, don't we? The heart resonates with truth. The heart is the battleground sometimes for territory, we're either pulled by this or that, and it's the heart that is sort of gained or lost. It's where ultimately, though, where God wants to be. And he wants to be at the heart of the matter, so to speak, but he also wants to be on the throne room of our heart. The appeal is to the heart. And I really enjoyed this here, too, because it gives me some meaning, more meaning to these plagues, really, that God is trying to minister to the heart of Pharaoh. In verse, also too, the focus in verse 16, it says, "But indeed for this purpose of chapter 9, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name might be declared in all the earth." And another reason for these plagues was to show that God's power is beyond anything you could ever imagine. And really, I mean, God's power was limited in these expression plagues. He is sending these plagues, but it's an expression of him measuring, a measured expression of his power, really. I mean, if you look at verse 15, it says, "Now, if I stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth." There is no reason why God had to take 9 plagues and go through the 9 different steps and then the 10th one to demonstrate that he is powerful. In verse 15, it tells me that there's the mercy of God here in the implementation of judgment. And if it wasn't for God taking this measured response to a hardened heart, it would just take one word from him to annihilate everyone. We see the patience of God. We see the long suffering of God. We see the warnings of God. We see the opportunities that God gives a human heart, really. And James 2:13 says that there's mercy in judgment. And it's really a kind of a direction for us as Christians to take as we meet out or establish judgment in some ways, is that we use mercy combined with that. And this is what God is like. And so I think that these plagues here, they focus on the heart. They focus on his power and his name, his fame that would go out. And his name is his character, his qualities, and that we might learn the fame of God and that there's mercy in God's judgment. And these all come out in the 7th plague, in the hail plague. And it kind of acts as a good central feature of why God sends these plagues. Now, we're going to go ahead now and just look at let me make another comment here about these plagues before we go through the different responses that a hardened heart may have towards God reaching out to his heart. So I mentioned that God would harden Pharaoh's heart, but it's not because God is sealing Pharaoh's heart to react in a certain way, and he has no chance to respond. If we looked at these 10 plagues, we're going to read that as we look through them, and that's something to do as well when we read the Bible, is we read it slowly. We read it with a studying mind type thing to see really where God is at, because we could come away and just say with Romans 9:18, it says he has mercy on whom he wills and whom he will he hardens, and we can come away from that and say, well, you know, God has already decided. I don't have a choice in this at all whatsoever. And it says in 7:3, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. But we got to look at, as these plagues went through, Pharaoh had ample opportunity to respond, and it was him that hardened his heart first, not God. And so as you look at the 10 plagues, 6 out of 10 times, Pharaoh hardens his heart. The first 5, Pharaoh hardens his heart. You skip 1 on 6, where God hardened his heart, but then number 7, it's back to Pharaoh hardening his heart again. And so, by and large, the greater percentage of times, it's Pharaoh hardening his heart, and he's given ample opportunity initially to respond to God. God gives us many opportunities to reflect on our position towards God. A person can harden or resist many opportunities. God will never allow brokenness and a recklessness of evil to go unchecked. God will harden hearts and give them over to what they ultimately desire. A person may reach this point. God will steer evil to accomplish his desires, though, nonetheless. And so some of these things you learn here about the plagues and some of the characteristics of these plagues. So I hope that helps us in that sort of wrestling we have with, you know, does God, you know, seal us even before we start making our decisions for us? And no, the answer is no. We see Pharaoh here had ample opportunity to respond to God. So the first plague here is the water to blood. And this occurs in chapter 7. And we see that, let's just look at chapter 7. It looks down to 22. It says, then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And there again, I say, you know, why would you want to bring more blood to water? But that's what they did. You know, there you go. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. So we see here that his heart was not moved by this. And in verse 24, so all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. So what the response of this miracle was that they would find another way. Well, we can't drink water or blood, or sorry, we can't drink water from what's usually there for water for us. It's blood. What we're going to do is we're going to dig around. We're going to dig trenches around these rivers and make our own water. And we'll have that. There is a way that we can overcome this. And sometimes that might be the response of a hardened heart. You know, we can engineer our way around this, and we can provide what we need when it seems like there's something pointing us from God, maybe or not, from God asking us to look to him. And you know what? Response might be, well, things happen. You know, I'm going to go my other way. I'm going to try and dig a trench around this way and provide my own way. The second plague, frogs. As I mentioned, the Lord said that he smote the land with the frogs, and they were everywhere. Again, nice to hear them in the ponds at our cottages, but not nice to have them in your house, in your bedroom. Imagine putting down your sheets and seeing one of those things jump out. Beds, ovens, kneading bowls. Well, the magicians, hey, we can do that. Why would you want more frogs in these areas? Well, the magicians did that. And let's look at the response of Pharaoh. In verse 9 of chapter 8, it says here, and Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses that they may remain in the river only. And so he said, well, what, like Moses is saying, well, Pharaoh, when do you want me to do this for you? When do you want me to entreat the Lord to pull these frogs away? And Pharaoh's response is, well, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like the Lord your God. So when Pharaoh's given a response, you know, sort of given a chance to respond, he says, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to maybe wait for tomorrow. And that could be something, too, as a response from a hardened heart, is that we know what to be the right thing to do, but we're not really convinced totally of it, and we're going to do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow becomes another tomorrow, and tomorrow becomes another tomorrow type thing. And as soon as there was relief in verse 15, Pharaoh saw that there was relief. He hardened his heart again and did not heed them as the Lord had said. And so, you know, we see here that Pharaoh's heart remains hardened here with the frogs. So let's look at the third plague. The third plague was lice. Now, the magicians couldn't bring the lice. Probably a good thing. We don't want more lice. But verse 19 says in chapter 8, the third plague here, this is the response of the magicians. They couldn't bring the lice. And so all of a sudden they say in verse 19, this is the finger of God. So there's recognition that God is in this. You know, we couldn't do it. We couldn't appeal to our gods. We couldn't use a devilish medium to bring this to us, but we must think that this is a God. This is someone who is beyond us, and this is the finger of God. Despite the observation from Pharaoh that this was the opinion of the magicians, Pharaoh's heart in verse 19 grows hard again. did not heed them. And you know, there was an event that you know was clearly from God. And even despite recognizing in some hearts, despite recognizing that, you know, clearly God is working in an event, like, you know, sometimes when God orchestrates things and he brings to opportunities your way, and, you know, but you can clearly say that, you know, this is a finger from God. This is God's hand in it. We sometimes will just remain hardened, don't we? And this is what Pharaoh did, despite the advice from the magicians. The fourth plague here was the flies. Now, here is where God establishes a difference between the protected and the unprotected. And so anyways, we look at verse 25. And remember, Moses had come to Pharaoh and said, you know, I want my people and themselves to go away from here about a 3 days journey. We're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And this was because, you know, God had established not only a way, but also a place to go. If they had sacrificed to the Lord where they were, it would be an abomination to God. And they needed to get separate, and they needed to worship God on his terms and get to a place where they could do this. And this is what they asked for. But in the fourth plague, the flies, verse 25, here's the response from Pharaoh. Go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? And so Pharaoh is saying in verse 28, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. And I want you, by the way, to pray for me. Anyways, here's a response of Pharaoh's hardened heart again. He's partially committed. He says, yeah, you can go away, but I don't want you to go too far. And so, you know, that might be a response from our hardened heart when we kind of have a partial response to God, but we're not willing to go all the way. And it's partial. And so this is what, you know, Pharaoh was thinking of at that time, was partial commitments. So here is the fifth plague, the livestock. Not really much to say here, although Pharaoh hardens his heart again. Let's go to the sixth plague, is the boils. Again, so the boils now, the plagues now reach the body. They're on sort of resources and stuff like that. But now they reach the body, it gets a little more problematic for people. Again, the magicians try to bring these boils on everyone else. And I don't know why they would want to do that. However, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. We reach the seventh plague, which we spoke a little bit about, hail. And it's interesting, it's mentioned that, you know, hail used to fall before, but this amount of hail was never seen like this before. And so it was unprecedented. We hear that term a lot by what we're going through today. And let's look at chapter 9. This hail comes down in the seventh plague. And in verse 20, it says, he who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. So now you have someone responding. You have Pharaoh's servants responding to God and saying, you know what? We recognize that there's protection with this God. And if he says to do this, I'm going to go and do this, and I'm going to be protected. And despite the servants, some of Pharaoh's servants responding to God in verse 20 of chapter 9, and in verse 27, it seems like Pharaoh had a bit of a change of heart. Let's look at that. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. Here's that sort of recognition that, you know what, the Lord is doing. It's righteous and fair. The Lord is righteous. And my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering in hell. For it is enough. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. And so then we go to verse 34. When Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So there seems to be a recognition that, you know, he was a sinner. He knew that he was finding himself lacking before a holy God. He also knew that God was righteous and that he was doing the right thing and he was being fair. And yet when given the opportunity, when this plague was removed, you know, Pharaoh just said, "Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm hardening my heart." Okay, so let's look at the eighth plague, the locusts, in 10:3. It says here that Moses came to Pharaoh and said, "How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" Okay, so here is kind of a representation of the patience of God. And as I said before, Moses was sent as God to the people. He was reflecting God's characteristics to people. And I just want to encourage us who are friends and family who are reaching out to those who might be of a different persuasion in terms of the things of the Lord. Be patient, continue to reach out. And we see here that, you know, the patience of God will outlast the hardness of Pharaoh's heart in some ways. How long will you refuse to humble yourself? You know, how long will it take for you to humble yourself? He is willing to wait. In 10:7, it's interesting, in 10:7, we have a verse here that talks to us about who really is in bondage, who's free and who's in bondage here. Now, you would think that the Israelites are in bondage and that the Egyptians are the free ones, right? Well, it says here that, you know, here's the response of the people in verse 7. How long will you let this man be a snare to us or hold us in bondage for? So who was hostage, the Egyptians or Israelites? In reality, it was really the Egyptians that were in bondage. And that's a hardened heart. It's in bondage to the things that they're in bondage to. And really, that's the thing that we need freed, is the hardened heart. And in 10:16, we see that Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. "I have sinned again against the Lord and against you. And now, therefore, please forgive me only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away this death from me." And so, you know, he's saying just once, I just need to get out of this jam. That's kind of the nature of his response, is like, I'm a sinner again, but I just need one more chance to get out of this jam I'm in. And he doesn't come with a full heart open to the Lord. We need to give ourselves completely to him. We go on to the ninth plague, which is the darkness. And this is where Pharaoh then takes it up a notch, and he says, you know, Moses, I don't want you appearing before me again, because I'm going to kill you the next time I see you. And the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart in verse 27 of chapter 10. And Pharaoh says, "Get away from me, take heed to yourself, and see my face no more. From the day you see my face, you shall die." And so Moses said, "You have spoken well, I will never see your face again." So there is a point at which God's reaching out comes to an end, it seems. We don't know when that is in each of our lives or in each person's life. We can't pretend to know, you know, when God is going to reach this point, but he knows and we don't know. So we keep trying to, you know, persist and trying to, you know, reach out to people. But you know something, it's funny, eh? It says in chapter 10:29, says, Moses said, "You have spoken well, I will never see your face again." What an attitude of heart Moses had. You know, "You have spoken well, I'll never see your face again." He understands that Pharaoh is just responding with a hardened heart. He doesn't get upset. He just leaves the situation with the Lord. And, you know, then we come to that's the ninth plague. And that's really the end of the message this morning. And some of the things that we focused on was to, the Lord does not predetermine the response of the human heart. It is totally a free choice to obey God or not. God will steer evil to an end which will bring him fame, honor, and glory. God's people come out of a suppressed situation, by the way, with full hands, and I didn't mention that. I think that before the children of Israel were to leave Egypt, they would ask their neighbors, you know, "Can I have a gold necklace? Can I have a silver piece of silver? Can I have some clothing?" And I'll just say this, that, you know, when God brings you out of suffering, he's going to bring you out with full hands, not an empty hand. He's going to give you something that you would never get anywhere else. And that was in the bondage that you suffered, in the time of setting aside that you suffered. But God's people come out of a suppressed situation with full hands. We'll maybe talk about that next week. I don't know if Jonathan will mention that or not. But the opponents of God will say that God gave them a chance and that his judgment in the end is righteous and fair. That's all I have for this morning. I hope you were encouraged by that. May the plagues just, remind us of the way God works with a hardened heart. And I'll just pray at this point, Corey. And then I'll give it over to you, okay? Dear God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we've spent in your word. And Lord, the constant reaching out, the constant way you're willing to work with someone who is a willing and who is a hardened heart first, and you want to change them over, you want to soften the hearts. And thank you for your efforts that way, Lord. If we're spoken to represent God before someone else in this way, we pray that you would help us to adopt those characteristics. Fill us with the fruit of your spirit, Lord. Do abundantly above all that we ask or think in these ways. And we just thank you so much, Lord, that you give us all things richly to enjoy. And thank you for this time we've had. In Jesus' name, amen.